Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessee. And Gentry, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Hey, I'm good. Good morning. Good to be with you guys.
Good to have you with us. And Gentry, you were there for that debacle of a game for the Titans against the Jets on Sunday in New York. I guess your initial reaction to what we saw on Sunday and your concern level at this point with the offensive line. Is this what we're going to see from a pass blocking standpoint with the offensive line? How much confidence do you have that the Titans can figure this out and get better in that area?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the question. I think when you look at what happened in the game, I mean, obviously just a game that the Titans should have won and didn't. And, you know, even with all the issues, pass protecting, missed opportunities in the red zone, they still had the game in a good place late. They ran a lot more plays than the Jets. They had a lot more possession time than the Jets. That's the script they like to have, to let Derrick Henry kind of take over a game in the fourth quarter. We've seen it before, and they were in position to do it. But it's just it got to the defense didn't hold up late. But yeah, it goes back to the inability to protect Tannehill. And as much as you want to look at this game and say, well, it's because they didn't have A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Bud Dupree, all these big guys, that's not the big reason why you give up seven sacks to the Jets after giving up six of them to the Cardinals. So I think pretty much every defense in the NFL is going to look at this and realize, hey, the games the Titans lost, they gave up 13 sacks. They were unable to protect their quarterback on third down. So that's it's a big problem, and it's a problem that they just honestly didn't have last year. It's a new problem, and one they're going to have to figure out quickly.
Yeah, no, I agree. In fact, I think I'm going to have to go back and look at some analytics from last year. I would argue that the Titans, in terms of pass protection last year before Lawan went down, granted, Derrick Henry helps with this, right? I mean, the play-action game is nice, but even in obvious drop-back situations where he's no factor, say where they were one of the best in the league in protecting Tannehill from about late 2019 when they figured it out through last year, even without Lawan last year, it wasn't a big problem. So Gentry, is it as simple to you as this guy hurt, this guy not playing well, or do you think there is some kind of larger thing here, maybe OC or whatever, in terms of their protection right now?
I do think, obviously, the protection, it's just been different things, right? Because, I mean, it was Lawan in the first game. I don't think you can say it was him so much against the Jets. But, you know, look, if you guys remember before the season, everyone was saying, well, you got A.J. Brown and Julio Jones and Derrick Henry, what's the defensive coordinator going to do? You know, and these guys are paid a lot of money to sit there and not throw up their hands and figure out what to do. And I think the answer is going to be to challenge the Titans in this way and go after Tannehill, especially on third down. Put a team in man, put your coverage in man, and just go after Tannehill and say, we're going to get you. And the fact that the Cardinals had success in week one doing that, I think it told everybody that they were going to be vulnerable that way. To go to Seattle the next week, if you saw the comments from Pete Carroll after the game, I mean, they had a strip sack of Tannehill in that game, and they came away from that saying that they didn't get as much pressure as they thought they were going to get in that game. And that was when they thought Taylor Lewan was going to be on the field. So I think it's the NFL. It's like, you go into the season thinking the offense is going to be unstoppable, and there's a lot of people who try to come up with ways to not make that the case.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Gentry, what about the other side of the ball? Obviously, you know, the end of the Seattle game, the Colts game, and really the first half for the most part of the Jets game, we saw some good things defensively, and then that fell apart towards the end. Your confidence level, specifically in the secondary with this defense, with Christian Fulton having to go inside in the last game, just what have you made of the secondary through the first four games for the Titans?
I've liked Fulton. I think he's played pretty well and been an upgrade certainly at that spot. But you know, too many big plays. I think it looked good against the Colts because you were going against a quarterback who didn't have the ability to extend the plays the way Russell Wilson and Zach Wilson did. I think the Titans did well against a limited quarterback with Carson Wentz, but too many big plays in all the other games. And I think, Vrabel said after the game, he said, well, you know, we had guys standing there this time, unlike Seattle, when we let them run free. So I guess
chose,
that's progress,
yeah.
Right?
Chose not to cover them, I think.
Yes.
He said. He gets in some zingers.
He
you
does.
Know?
He, every now
I
and
mean, there's, it, sometimes it, there's some underrated little moments in there. Yeah, so we've been talking about this Urban Meyer thing, Gentry, and I don't know if you've seen all the different angles of the video now, but it makes this a really interesting week. I mean, it was already, I guess, interesting. First chance for the Titans to see Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer and Vrabel work for Urban and all that stuff. Like, do you think that this is going to have any sort of impact on the Jaguars this week?
I mean, I can't see it impacting the game in such a way, only because, I mean, that team's terrible. They're just not any good. I mean, I don't know how much of a negative impact you can have. If anything, I think they're probably going to have a little more confidence because they played reasonably well in losing to the Bengals. They really could have won that game. So maybe they're feeling a little better than they were, but I think it probably hurts the Jags what happened to the Titans against the Jets. I think they're going to get the Titans in a bad mood. That's probably not a good thing for the Jaguars, who pretty much haven't been able to tackle Derrick Henry now for about 3 years.
Well, speaking of, Derrick Henry lost in all this. Another big game on Sunday. Still on pace for a lot of carries this year, a lot of touches, and a lot of yards. Is he good enough? Is this running game good enough to carry the Titans through this while they figure out what's going on in pass blocking in the offensive line? Or is it as simple offensively for the Titans that if you can't block any better and protect your quarterback, you're just in a big world of hurt as they move forward here?
Well, it's pretty amazing to me. If you look at the Jets had played pretty well against the run going into this game. And usually, you know, if you're crowding the line of scrimmage and trying to do these things, it's hard to run for 150 yards like Derrick Henry did, but he does this kind of thing routinely. And it doesn't always make sense. He does it against defenses that clearly are geared up to stop him, and, you know, they stick with it, and all of a sudden, he's getting 3 yards, now 5 yards, now 8 yards, and by the end of the game, he's just really wearing teams out, and it's a formula that I think out of anything the Titans do. I mean, you want to talk about, I think getting, you know, obviously A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, getting those guys back is a big deal, I think, in helping the pass game for sure. And their longest completion against the Jets was a screen pass to Jeremy Nichols, so that's not what you want. But I think, you know, what they do with Henry, as long as he's healthy, I don't really see how a team can consistently stop that. And if anything, I credit the Titans because they haven't gotten away from that. If anything, they're leaning more on Derrick Henry than they were. And Todd Downing figured out something pretty quick that it took Arthur Smith about halfway through his first season as coordinator to figure out, which is just give that guy the ball and get out of his way.
Yeah. Now, of course, I mean, the thing is, it's like I feel like I'm hypocritical, and maybe other people are too, because I – ask about and talk about workload, right, with Derrick Henry, and it's like, man, how can you possibly sustain this? But on the other hand, constantly like, how do you take him off the field? You're taking him off the field on 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, whatever, right? I mean, it's incredible. Like, they are absolutely leaning on him. I don't know if there's a team that leans on a player who takes that kind of punishment more than they do him, and yet you could make the case that he should be on the field more often.
Yeah, no doubt. And not only, I hear you on the workload stuff, and I think that too, but it's like with Derek, until he shows he can't do it, I don't think we can just assume that he can't do it. The durability is off the charts. And plus, you're looking at a guy that going into the season, he was drafted the same year as Zeke Elliott. But Zeke Elliott has a lot more carries in his career than Derrick Henry does. He was underutilized his first few years in the NFL. So yeah, he's getting wear and tear now, but if you look at the course of his career, and even at Alabama, he split carries up until his last year when he won the Heisman Trophy. So he really doesn't have the same wear as some of the same star running backs who are his age. And, I mean, you know, anytime you doubt what that guy can do, he goes and does it.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean has been our guest here on Robbie and Rackshow. Gentry, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. All right.
He just hung up on us. Gentry's mad. He's mad I made him watch Vandy UConn in New York on Saturday night.
We forgot to ask him about that. What a viewing experience that was.
Hey. I mean, an entire, you know, block of Manhattan was just totally just wrapped up in that game.
That's right. Something, man. We'll come back. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans and get to some more developments on the Urban Meyer front as we speak right now on Twitter. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, we've discussed the Urban Meyer situation extensively this morning here on the show, and there appear to be, potentially, more developments on that front. This coming from Michael Lombardi, at M. Lombardi NFL on Twitter. Quote, according to two Jacksonville sources, there are many closed-door meetings happening over the last 2 days in the football offices, and none of them have anything to do with the Titans. Stay tuned. This might get ugly. Lombardi, after that, quote tweeting a tweet from Michael McCann at McCann Sports Law, two employment contract terms might become tied to this development with the Jacksonville Jaguars, quote, morals clause and for cause. So if you read between the lines there, like are the Jags having meetings about maybe firing Urban Meyer 4 games into his tenure with the Jacksonville Jaguars? As Lombardi said, this is going to be interesting to watch. Stay tuned. Quote, this might get ugly.
Wow, man. Okay, this could be a distraction for the Jags.
I would say
I keep tying this to the Titans. Yeah, their pass rush may not be as good this week. Man, that's let's stay tuned, I guess. So, again, this is a big deal. Or, it's just like Robert Kraft or whatever. Whatever you're doing in sports, if Urban is undefeated right now, this is a huge video. This is a huge story. But it's only potentially costing his job if they don't think he can win.
Agreed.
I mean, if Shad Khan felt great about where things are going, and he felt like, and again, we're just speculating on this tweet that there's sources saying that there's a meeting. So let's keep that clear.
Right.
But
I always love the term closed door meetings.
As like opposed to like, let's all have
the doors
meeting.
Open. Yeah. Just open those things up, baby. Let's go.
Urban, I want to sit here in the common area with you, and I want you to I want various employees here to overhear what we're talking about. Yeah, if there is anything to this idea that they're actually looking at this with him because of this situation, unless there's more to the situation than we know. I mean, it's a terrible look. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, it's bad.
It's a terrible look. But it's because they think that he's just not going to get it done as a football coach. It's awfully early to make that judgment.
Although they've been pretty bad.
Well, but didn't we? Who was
they knew. We knew they were
Who was
bad.
Coming in and making them good in the first month of this season after,
Nobody.
After they went 1-15?
Nobody.
Yeah. So, wow. Jeez. Would not have anticipated that.
Well, to answer but your it, previous there, question.
There is a pile of stuff with him that's kind of like, huh?
Yeah.
Huh? And then you get to this.
Yeah. To answer your previous question of whether or not this could have a negative effect on the field, well, I guess if they fire their coach on Wednesday or Thursday this week, yeah, maybe. Might have a bad effect on the field.
Maybe it's a good effect.
Yeah.
You got the angry Titans coming off the Jets and the angry Jags. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe they're going to be really happy, too.
Could be.
Too happy. There's so many ways this
celebratory
could go.
Jacks.
Yeah.
Good Jeez. Gracious. I did not expect this early to be talking about Urban Meyer potentially losing his job.
That franchise.
It's four games in.
That franchise is on an incredible run of dysfunction.
It is. Godspeed with our friend Todd in Jacksonville on the text line.
I'd like to know what Todd in Jacksonville thinks about this.
I would too.
What does Duval think about all this? I mean, you can't lose faith in Urban Meyer as a coach because they've sucked in the first month. Well, they're a terrible team, right?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't think so. But to your point, there is a lot that comes with Urban Meyer, and it's not just on the field, right? I mean, you know, we talked about the strength coach stuff and how that was a bad look. Look, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for a player on the Jags, and I don't know whether or not this has happened, but a player on the Jags say, all right, you're bringing in the college guy, and this is the way that he's going to do things. Is that really going to work? Is that going to translate in the NFL? Like, was as dysfunctional as that place is, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, there are some players internally, even before all this stuff, that say, man, this is who you brought in to be our coach, this guy that runs this offense in college. This is not going to work. Now, again, to your point, it's four games in. It's really, really a small sample size. And, you know, there have been a couple games where they played okay for stretches. I mean, they hung in there with Arizona. Arizona, obviously, pretty good team, 4-0, undefeated in the NFC. The Thursday night game was wildly entertaining, comparatively speaking, to my expectations heading into it between the Bengals and the Jags. So it's not like they've just been totally embarrassed so far this year. But they're not very good. I don't think there's any question about that.
Look, there's no absolute on the college to pro thing. Pete Carroll's been all right. By the way, Cliff Kingsbury, and I didn't like that hire.
Good gracious.
I'm like, man, this guy and his offense, and he's just young, hot. How many young hot shot guys are you going to bring him in for college? Well, you know, looks okay. Looks like he's kind of figured some things out in the league, and he's got good players, and they seem to like playing for him. So there's no absolute. Look, I get the fascination with Urban Meyer. He's been incredibly successful as a coach, yes, at the college level, but extremely successful. And before he just had better players every single week, he was doing it at Bowling Green in Utah too. So pretty good track record of being able to figure things out. Stuff I didn't even know till last year working on that story on him and Vrabel and stuff is like the intensity of like holding people accountable and putting people on the spot and stuff like that, which doesn't sound great necessarily, but has worked for him. Does that work in the NFL?
Well, does that work now? Holding people accountable? Like, how do you, what does that mean
there,
now?
There's also that. Yeah, when you do something like this, some of those words get a little emptier.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jim from Springfield texting in. I think maybe Urban Meyer was just showing the young lady how he taught Trevor Lawrence to place his hands under center, that quarterback.
They do a lot of shotgun, though. So I don't
thank
know.
You, Jim.
They're not under center a ton. So, but hey, but maybe.
Maybe so.
I hadn't seen that video until you showed it to me. Holy crap.
Yeah. Ben texting in, this could be horrible news for the Titans long term. I would rather they kept Urban. Imagine if the Jaguars get a real coach to help Trevor Lawrence build a dynasty for the next decade.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows?
Could be horrible news for the Titans. I don't know.
They haven't been great at hiring lately.
They have not.
It's
going to be fascinating.
It's always possible.
Well, you said, look, we've not heard the last of this story, and that was, I don't know.
Yeah.
28 minutes ago when you said that.
I think today is not a good day for Twitter to go down, so don't, please. So,
yeah. Nate on Twitter.
More to come here.
Nate on Twitter, do you think USC will be interested in Urban if he gets fired from the Jags? I can see where they say never mind because of the video, but I know schools will do almost anything to win. Where is the line drawn?
Well, first of all, Nate, I've never, ever, for a second, bought Urban USC stuff, and I don't think he would go there. So I'd call that a slightly educated opinion, which is, you know, better than a lot of my opinions.
Well,
I don't think he'd go there anyway. So, but that's a good question. Like, if this went bad, what's the level of hiring Urban for a college program? Mm.
I mean, somebody would hire him.
Somebody would if he wanted to. But then I just don't see him. Nah, who knows? Who knows with him, right?
You never know with that
why
guy.
Why even speculate? I mean, I can't even. Like, this has changed how I look at Urban Meyer.
Just so bad. Absolutely awful.
Oh, boy.
It's awful. And it's just, to me, it's, from everything I know, completely unlike him. You know what I mean? There's a lot of fair criticism of Urban Meyer and stuff, but not stuff like this.
Also, just really sad if you're his family. You can't even go on social media right now.
Oh, no. It's not a good place to be.
You may not be able to go to the grocery store right now.
I was about to say, yeah. It's not good stuff. When we come back, we'll have a special buy or sell edition with the AFC and the NFC. We'll start with the AFC coming up next. Make sure you stay tuned for that. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew from Hillside Medical Clinic joins me to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Hey, I am doing well, and yes, we have a major medical advancement here. If you're out there struggling with ED, frustrated in the bedroom, probably hating the pill, Hillside Medical uses the most studied form of wave technology. With gentle pressure waves, this opens up and regrows blood vessels. So it treats the root cause of the problem and has helped so many men get back to normal in the bedroom.
So, Andrew, when you talk about the new technology, maybe the natural question for some listeners is, what kind of studies have been done on this technology?
Significant studies. In fact, at hillsidemedicalclinic.com, we have 50 studies from the Cleveland Clinic, Cambridge University, and so many others saying this is safe, this is effective. One study called this the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
And I hear you have a special offer if the listeners call in right now.
Yes, if you're ready to regain your love life, guys, there's no obligation to this today and no cost. That's pretty great. The assessment exam and blood flow ultrasound is free this morning, plus a gift that produces immediate results in the bedroom. You guys will love that. Trust me, it's worth about $500. We're doing it free to callers now.
That's right. You heard it, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer. 615-576-5000. 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic at 615-576-5000. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Corner Pub in Bellevue this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jarrett Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Corner Pub in Bellevue at 8058 Tennessee Highway 100 prior to the Titans taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Rescode.
That's fine. That's a new one.
There's a new one every day, whether it's from me or on the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
There's a new Urban Meyer revelation every 10 minutes, too.
Apparently so.
My favorite's the Rex Bachelorette. Bachelor X.
That was a pretty good one.
The Bachelor X. Yeah. Nice.
New episode of the Bachelor X tonight.
Well, Urban Meyer could be a contestant.
It's actually Paradise, Robbie. Bachelor in Paradise.
That's
but
true.
It's okay.
Hey, thank you. Looking forward to that tonight.
Urban's heading to Paradise.
Yeah, could be. We have a special buy or sell edition. We're going to do the AFC and the NFC. So, Joe, I'm going to read off some teams in the AFC, and you tell me that you either buy the start to the season and they're going to be a good team or a bad team, or you sell what we've seen thus far through, I guess, you know, we used to judge the NFL season through, hey, you've got four quarters, the first four games. And now there's 17 games, and we can't really do that. This thing is just all out of whack now.
Yeah. Well, it's the, I mean, Derrick Henry is on a pace to break the NFL rushing record right now.
I know.
But it'll have an asterisk if he does, unless he does it in 16, I guess.
I guess.
All right. Stupid.
So we begin in the AFC North. The Cincinnati Bengals, 3-1 to begin the season. They are tied with the Ravens and the Browns atop the AFC North. The Steelers at 1-3 at the bottom. Cincinnati, 3-1. Are you buying or selling the Cincinnati Bengals?
Selling. I mean, I think they're going to be better this year. You know, I did watch quite a bit of that game against the Jags, you know, which was actually Urban Bar Eve, actually, and didn't realize
it was
at the time. But I'm selling them as I don't think they're a playoff team. You know, I mean, I think they're going to be improved. I think they're probably going to be like a 7-8 win kind of team.
Yep.
They'll rise up and get a few people.
They're going to score some points.
Yeah. Like, I think that they're – I love Jamar Chase, and Burrow's going to be good, and their D still isn't great, and their offensive line still needs work. So, I'm selling.
The Baltimore Ravens, to me, a very interesting team. They've had a lot of injuries, obviously. They are 3-1. Including a victory on a 66-yard field goal banking in off the uprights against the Detroit Lions. Do you buy or do you sell the Baltimore Ravens at 3-1?
So, just to make sure I know the terms here, buying and selling means what exactly?
You buy in a playoff team.
Yeah, okay. So that's just to make the playoffs.
Yep.
Well, okay, so can you buy a team without necessarily saying that you definitely think they're going to be in the playoffs?
I mean, give you half the money up front.
I mean, because I'm buying them as a team that's going to be there at the end. I don't know if they're going to get in. I'll buy them. I'll buy the Ravens, but I think they're definitely better than Bengals. The Steelers, I think, might be actually an easy mark this year. And the Browns are the class of that division, I believe, based on what we see now. It's interesting with the Browns, too, because their defense was astoundingly good Sunday, and their offense actually was bad.
Yeah.
But I'll buy the Ravens. I still just think I can't use the word culture. Don't use the word culture. You know what I mean. Something other, you know, that means culture.
Yeah.
They got a standard of play and a toughness about them. It's actually kind of like the long-term, the stability with Harbaugh and everything. I mean, it's kind of reminiscent of the Steelers a little bit. You know, obviously, and they've obviously gone a different way with Lamar Jackson. He's still a heck of a player. They still have a pretty good defense. I'll buy them to scratch their way in.
By the way, a big game coming up on Monday night between the Colts and the Ravens. That's going to be an interesting one to watch. I'm going to assume you're buying the Cleveland Browns, so I'll skip them.
Yes.
What about the Pittsburgh Steelers at 1-3? Is there any chance they rebound with Ben Roethlisberger still at the helm?
Michelle's hoping so. You know what? No, I don't buy them as a playoff team. I'm also not necessarily, and I just said they're going to be an easy mark, yet I'm not necessarily buying what I just said. You know, I mean, I still feel like they got enough there, I think, to win some close defensive games and, you know, be better. But that's the thing. I mean, they're secondary too. Like they're a very flawed team. So
they can generate some pass rush.
They absolutely can generate some pass rush. And I still think, you know, Najee Harris in a lot of weeks is going to be a nice weapon for them, but yeah, Ben Roethlisberger looks more his age than other quarterbacks in this league.
Do you buy or sell the Las Vegas Raiders at 3-1 in the AFC West? 3-1 for the Raiders.
I mean, the problem is you're getting into, you know, like how many teams do you think are making the playoffs, you know? I'm going to do the math now because, you know, I think it's almost like you can't buy the Raiders and the Colts, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's easier now to just discount the Dolphins and Patriots, although I actually think the Patriots can make things interesting if Mac Jones plays like that. I think I'm going to sell the Raiders. I just think last night they were getting dominated. And Derek Carr went on a little run. They actually got a stop, and they made it a one-score game. But their defense is not good.
No.
You know, like Max Crosby is a great pass rusher. They've got some guys on that side of the ball. But they've given up 100 points here in four games. That's not a huge number. But remember, they also played the limited Ravens. I don't think that they're good enough defensively. And I think that Carr is a very good quarterback, but ultimately not exactly what they wish he was.
The L.A. Chargers, they're off to an impressive start, 3-1. Justin Herbert's played really well so far. Do you buy the L.A. Chargers as a playoff team, a legitimate threat in the AFC?
Absolutely. Who'd they lose to?
They lost to...
I'm like, how did that team lose after watching them play the last 2 weeks? They lost a close game to the Cowboys.
Correct.
By the way, it might be kind of good. Sad for the rest of the NFL to say. I'm buying them big time. I think Herbert's good. I don't know if he's, pushing for the top tier, but he's good. He's a good quarterback. The receivers are good. Eckler is a really nice player, and they've got some guys on D. Well, Joey Bosa needs to shave that cheesy mustache, but that's a good team.
Are you buying the Kansas City Chiefs? And hear me out on this. Everyone knows what they can be offensively. Everyone knows they're amazing with Patrick Mahomes. Their defense has given up 29, 36, 30, and 30 in four games so far. Do you buy the Kansas City Chiefs? We'll start with a playoff team, but I think I know your answer there. Do you buy them being anywhere near as legitimate of an overwhelming threat as they have been the last couple of years?
Well, I buy them as the team I'm still picking to win the AFC. But overwhelming? Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I think it's going to be a tougher road. Good bounce back. And, the 30 last week, that was kind of garbage time-ish with the Eagles. But yeah, their D is nothing to write home about, no doubt. I think that ultimately offense is the name of the game in this league. So have that elite offense, have what I still think can be the best offense in the NFL because the offensive line has been largely fixed.
Yep.
Have an okay defense, and I think they still have enough players on that side of the ball to be okay.
It's not been okay thus far.
It hasn't been. But I'm going to buy them. I can't take September and these issues they have and make too much of it.
I think everybody would buy the Buffalo Bills. What about the Tennessee Titans? 2-2, the Tennessee Titans. Do you buy or sell the Titans based off what we've seen through four games?
Yeah, I still buy the Titans to win the AFC South and play a home playoff game. So I still think they're going to figure that out, get that done. I buy them less as a contender right now. It's just really hard to say. And it's when you say this, some people take it as making excuses. It's not. But it's hard to know how good they can be because we haven't seen nearly their best, and some of that is purely for health reasons. Some of it is not. Like, I don't understand what's going on with Nate Davis right now, And I must say, like, the defense, there's been some good stretches here, but Sunday was one of those, boy. If that offense, that offensive line, that collection of players just sort of takes over the game and feels that they can move up and down the field on you, that is a bad sign moving forward. But I'm buying them to be in the postseason, to win the AFC South, and and we'll see.
We'll continue buy or sell. Coming up next with the NFC, take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win. Go to TheGameNashville.com for more details and to play. Silly underdog picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking buy or sell in the NFL. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We've done the AFC, now switching gears to the NFC. And Joe, we begin with, I think, the second most intriguing division in the NFC. Can we just put it on record? Do you buy or sell the entire NFC West?
Yes. Yeah. I'm buying the whole thing.
Big win for Seattle.
Big win for Seattle.
Jimmy G's hurt.
Yeah.
Trey Lance is coming in.
He is, but it's just a calf bruise. So, I mean, I think if that had gone bad, and Trent Williams was, they thought, seriously injured, and he's okay too. So that could have gone real bad for them, but I'm going to still buy them too. I mean, you know, that's big. The Cali teams took home losses to the other teams, and frankly, a little bit surprising on both fronts.
Arizona could go 17-0.
I mean, it's on the table. Watch out, 72 Dolphins.
It is on the table. Now to the second most intriguing division in the NFC. In my opinion, the NFC South. Start with Carolina. Carolina's 3-1. They just lost to the Cowboys. Sam Darnold's played pretty well thus far. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is hurt, and he'll be back maybe here in a couple of weeks. We'll see what happens on that front. Do you buy or sell the Carolina Panthers in Matt Rhule's second year?
I'm selling. It's been a nice start. I think he's done a nice job. And the defense has been good, but they're getting very banged up. And Darnold, you know, he's better there. He had some real bad moments against the Cowboys.
He did.
You know, I'm selling them. I think that they're – I mean, again, like you can go through this whole conference, and I think there's a clear division winner in the other three divisions, and then I think it's the NFC West.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do. Like the Vikings, you know, I had a thought that maybe they could – do something, but that's just, you can't lose that game at home and go to 1-3.
That was a tough loss.
And score 7 points.
Did not look good offensively against the Browns. What may be, in my opinion, certainly the most difficult team for me to figure out in the NFC, but maybe the entire league, the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
2-2. They dominated the Packers, got a good win in Foxborough against the Patriots. And then they've dropped to where you just kind of look around and say, huh? The New Orleans Saints at 2-2. Do you buy or do you sell with Jameis Winston leading the way at quarterback?
I've got to sell. And there's been times when I was ready to buy. But you can't, as bad as, you know, the Titans losing to the Jets in overtime, losing at home to the Giants in overtime. My goodness.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Got to sell them. I think they're going to be all over the map. They have definitely enough talent. And again, Winston, on certain weeks, is going to torch somebody. And then he's just – it's just inconsistent, man. So they're like an 8-9, 9-8 kind of team that misses the playoffs.
I assume you buy the Bucs, Tom Brady and company.
Oh, yeah.
The Chicago Bears at 2-2 in second place in the NFC North. Who knows who their quarterback is going to be on a weekly basis? Justin Fields had some good moments. You'll have some good moments when you play against the Detroit Lions. That's what we've learned so far this year. Do you buy or do you sell the Chicago Bears at 2-2 with apparently, Joe, three quality NFL quarterbacks on
yeah,
their right. roster?
Yeah, yeah. They could only combine them into one. Yeah, I'm going to sell big time on the Bears. And I think even just the distraction of, you know, Nagy might be fired here, right? I mean, I think a lot of people think he's like number one in the hot seat. Well, he was until apparently a couple days ago. Urban's line dancing has changed things. But I just I don't buy. And you know, it's interesting with Nagy too. Like, I understand all the people who are like clamoring for Justin Fields. I also actually get why you want to. It's kind of in his best interest to not just say go out there and here let's let it rock. But then again, Andy Dalton's not very good, so it's. But that is a distraction on top of they're just not that good. They're a good defense. They're a 9-8. I hate 9-8. 9-8 type team, but that's about what they are.
Do you buy or sell the Packers?
Oh, I'm buying the Packers.
All right.
The Packers.
The division.
The Bucks and the Cowboys.
Yep.
Are winning their divisions. I think going away.
So you are fully on board with the Cowboys. Now, look, they've looked very good.
To win the NFC East.
Correct.
Going away. That still doesn't necessarily speak that well of you, you know?
It doesn't. But they've looked awfully impressive through four games.
Yeah.
And Dak Prescott has played like an MVP candidate through four games. And honestly, if you had to pick an MVP right now, he might be it through four games, the way that he's played. You know, we've seen this from the Cowboys before, where they come out of the gate strong and then things go haywire and they start to fumble around as the end of the year approaches. I kind of feel like this team's pretty good. They seem to be pretty good, and much like the Titans and what the goal should be for the Titans as they continue to get healthy, the offense for the Cowboys is great.
Loaded.
And the defense has gotten better to the point where it's okay.
Yep.
It's an okay defense. And there they are at 3-1.
That's the NFL formula. And I agree. Now, as we finished the show yesterday, and as I'm packing up my room in New York, I have ESPN on, and I'm listening to Michael Irvin tell Stephen A. Smith how he would take Dak Prescott over any other quarterback in the NFL. And the absolute
– interesting.
There are times with Stephen A. where it's just – it's gold, because the absolute disbelief in his voice and on his face, which was totally warranted.
Yes.
Like, everyone felt the same way. Like, he actually said, you're going to pay for this. You can't have that take and not pay for it. It's like, come on. But – Dak Prescott is playing very well, and you're right. Right now, would he not be at the top of the MVP list? I mean, his numbers are
he'd be on the short
stupid.
List for sure.
So, no, I'm definitely buying them as the best team in that division. I mean, I think Washington is like a how about 8-9? Maybe. That's like
they got a really
tops.
Good defense.
Yeah, that's about tops for them. And maybe not even that. Like, the Cowboys might win that division by like 5 games.
They might.
So, yeah.
Mike McCarthy coaching them up. Just think if he knew how to manage a clock, how good they'd be.
Yeah, that guy.
That's been a struggle so far.
Guy's kind of been on scholarship, hasn't he?
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Eric in Bellevue texting in, selling Urban Meyer, buying Tim Tebow for next head coach. That would be a very Jags thing to do.
Bring Tebow
Tim,
back to
come
coach.
On down, buddy. Get in here and coach.
Yeah, sure.
Had some morality problems with the last one. Don't have to worry about that with Tebow. Come on in there.
You would think, right?
You would think.
You would think that Tebow would not go to the bar and grope someone.
Jason in Clarksville texting in. It's hard to tell how Joe really feels about the 17-game schedule. I agree. You've not made that clear enough, I don't think.
Since I could count, okay? You talk about NFL teams in 16-game terms. This is bad. This is dumb.
I'm really interested when we finally get to the 17th game this year to get your thoughts on what that feels like. Are you going to be excited for one more week of regular season football before the playoffs? How's this going to shake out with Rex Road? I'm really interested to see how that goes down.
I'm mostly over it. You know, it is what it is, and they're going to go to 18 and in this league that's devoted to player safety. But again, things are collectively bargained and there's a lot of money to be had. And I am someone who always screams at people who cry about the Beef O'Brady's Bowl because you're bitching about having more football, and that's kind of what I'm doing here. So I'm mostly over it. I'll be fine. Just here and there when we start talking about projected records, it just strikes me again how dumb it is.
Congratulations preemptively to Derrick Henry for rushing for 2,300 yards this year.
Yeah, exactly.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his take on Urban Meyer and all the other hot topics around the NFL. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.